Rockauto.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
You are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
Turn back before it's too late.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
And, where are you going?
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
All right, but don't expect a big reaction.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Don't define me.
Mace.
I ask for so little. Just let me rule you.
Omega.
Before this day, never have I met my match in battle.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Shoot. Rock's friends.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ. And you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I know where you live. I have people Earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That can't you take that? Sucker!
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. God, that intro. This has not been a good week for a lot of people for various reasons. But we're here to talk about pro wrestling, where the only one having a really bad week is Kalisto. So we should get to talking about that.
There were 14 blame robs.
Oh my god.
And we already have two for the week. And it's only 12 hours, 20 hours old.
Jesus Christ.
I know. He needs to stop.
Yeah, I said it on, I've spread it around. Like, 2016 is barely used and we got it less than 30 days ago. Can we return it?
I don't think we can. Did you keep the receipt?
Yes!
Wait. Yeah, it's 30 days or 14 minutes.
We may have a chance. Someone look into that. Intern, get on it. We need information, intern.
Yes. Can we eBay 2016 to afford another one?
Yes. Intern, get on it, please. Anyway.
Yes, I am the be-all, end-all of our network, Omega. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Yeah, I thought 2016 was going to be cool, man. We weren't going to suffer this shit anymore. And then it comes around and fucking butt rapes us. This is ridiculous. I want to go back to bed. Wake me in 2017.
Good lord, believe me, I have had that thought more than once this week.
I can hibernate for 12 months. I swear I can.
Or at least try.
Yeah, we'll do it we'll do it pretty well tomorrow. We got Raw. Next Sunday, we got Royal Rumble. Yeah, plenty of chances to go into hibernation.
And, of course, at the head of the table, as usual, the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It has been a pretty lousy week, and I'm telling you, Rob is getting his ass kicked. That's all there is to it.
Yes, he will. I'm going to stop talking now before I lose my voice. So on with the show.
Oh, somebody's got a cold. Sorry to hear about your damn luck, but welcome to the club. You guys aren't suffering from a cold, are you, Omega Mace?
I'm fine.
Okay, everybody listening, if you don't have a cold, just make sure that you've got one of those little hospital masks on your face and you should be okay. Just saying. So, yeah, it's been a lousy week. Let's just hope that everything, gets better from here. Maybe it's going to be a case of all of this shit that's going to happen. Let's get it out of the way right now and then look towards the brighter side and hope that the sun comes out tomorrow. What do you figure?
Oh, I can look out my window right now and tell you the sun is out. you know, that's a good thing about being in the future.
I was about to say, yeah, well, you know, Australia, living in the future that way, that's just not fair. it's currently minus 15 Celsius right now, Mace, where I am.
I will gladly trade anybody who is bitching about their cold weather for what we're currently going through down here in Australia.
Yeah, a bit of a
heat. We're hitting the 95, 100 degree plus mark down here on a constant weekly basis. So, yeah, any of you who are bitching about, you know, snow and cold, send it down here and I'll gladly send you my weather.
I'll take your weather in a heartbeat. I really will. I love the.
I will too. Because yesterday our cold came with storms and four tornadoes.
I heard about the tornadoes and my first thoughts went to you, Amiga. Were you anywhere nearby at all?
Thankfully, no. That was in Sarasota, which is a good bit north of here.
Good. So you were able to watch the footage on live TV.
Yeah, I did wake up and nearly shit myself as the rain slammed into my window like Thor's hammer.
Damn.
So we didn't have Tornado News Live version 2.0?
No, it was like 4 in the morning.
What, you're still up at 4 in the morning?
I wasn't trying to be this time, though.
Circumstances won't let you get to sleep before 3 a.m.
Well, being Pretty busy much. And only Let's... being able to work at night keeps me from going to sleep before 3 a.m.
So
is anybody watching the Democratic debate at the moment?
Nope.
Cool.
It's only the future of my country. Fuck it.
Yeah. Yeah. Why watch the Democratic debate? There's nothing going on there. It's the Republican debate that is train wreck entertainment. You just can't help but look.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the Republican debate is a lovely work of fiction.
Scariest thing on the planet. It's not Donald Trump running for president. It's the fact that he has so many people supporting him in the Republican camp. That's the scary thing.
The scary thing is every day Trump does shit that on any other campaign would completely ruin them.
Well, I was speaking with a girl. She's about 27 years old. She lives in Pennsylvania, just west of Three Mile Island, and she's a big Trump supporter. And I initially put that down to the fact that she's just west of Three Mile Island.
She could also be, you know, crazier than, you know, a box full of screws, but, you know, whatever.
Her name's Randy Kay, and she's definitely a different girl. I'll give you that much. But just in case she's listening, I'm not going to say anything else. So WTR Sunday Night is on the air, Wrestle Talk Radio. Thank you very much to PW Mania for all your wrestling news and views. Check them out, affiliated with the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's www.pwmania.com. Guys, here's the biggest surprise of the year. Sting is headed to the WWE Hall of Fame.
It's quite an accomplishment for a man with an 0-2 record in the WWE.
Yeah, that's right. He hasn't really won any kind of a match of note at all in WWE, has he?
He defeated a statue pretty cleanly.
No, don't know that that counts, really.
I think he had one match on Raw that was a DQ finish or a no contest.
Okay. Well, I don't think that we're going to see him wrestling in the ring again anytime soon, are we? After getting hurt in the middle of that match against Seth Rollins for the WWE title.
Probably not. He's pretty much done at this stage, which would be the reason that they're throwing him in the Hall of Fame at this time. It's like, yeah, we use him up, throw him in the Hall of Fame, fuck him off. Put him out of the pasture.
Yeah, I would have liked to see him hold the title even if it was only for a couple of weeks, but that's just a personal thing. Me having been a fan of the man called Sting. But what can you do? Who do you figure is going to be inducting him? Any guesses?
Flair.
Yeah, it's not really a guess. It's pretty much a foregone conclusion that Ric Flair will be the one doing the induction.
Yeah. Well, aside from Ric Flair, could anybody else do it?
Well, there could be one person, brother, but he's not with a company at this point in time.
There's another one who could do it, but he's dead.
Well, who are you inferring?
Warrior.
Oh, shit, yeah. I guess so.
Yeah. Ric Flair is pretty much the only one who has the legacy behind him to induct Sting.
Yeah, that pretty much just makes sense. I can't really picture anybody else doing it, to tell you the truth. Not much to discuss on this one, really. But who do you figure is going to be named tomorrow? Any guesses?
Well, there's not really a theme to it. Well, so far, anyway. Like, I was just looking through, and I figure if you're going to put Sting in, why not induct sort of a pseudo-class of WCW wrestlers? You know, especially those that do have some WWE connection as well, like Lex Luger, DDP, Goldberg, just so we can see him falling flat on his ass during his entrance during the induction video. Jericho. Can we finally put that cow out to pasture, please? Maybe even Stacy Keibler in the celebrity, pseudo-celebrity wing induction. You know, Dean Malenko, Ultimo Dragon.
I can see Dean Malenko going in.
Yeah, I'm surprised Malenko hasn't gone in earlier, just due to family legacy more than anything else.
If nothing else.
Juventud Guerrero just sitting by the phone waiting for the call.
The juicy one, as he calls himself.
Good God. As usual, there's the case for, you know, we want to put Owen in.
Yeah.
Another one that I thought sort of a dearly departed one, Crush Holly.
I'll agree with you, only because we can't put Owen in there, and it likely won't ever happen anytime soon.
Another couple that I sort of looked at and went, you know what, yeah, they're at a point where you could probably look at putting them into the Hall of Fame. Batista, because I don't see him coming back to wrestle at any point.
No, he's becoming too successful trying to kill James Bond.
Trying to kill James Bond, hanging out with CGI raccoons.
Yeah, that's why you put him in. And this one only because I know that the acceptance speech would be absolutely awesome. Can we finally put Paul Heyman in? Like, sure, he's a current manager or advocate to Brock Lesnar, but, you know, the guy has had a major career in all three companies, in ECW, WWE, and WCW.
Well, the other thing about it is, just because you put Paul Heyman into the Hall of Fame does not mean that he has to stop being Brock Lesnar's advocate.
This is true. This is true.
I mean, he could still continue doing what he's been doing. Right now, it might be time to elevate Heyman and give him that ring. And could you imagine some of the promos afterwards?
Yeah, the promos afterwards, the promo at the acceptance speech. And can you imagine all the styles that Heyman has had throughout the years and all the cell phones he has brought to the ring?
Oh, could we just have him bring some of the phones? If they do induct them?
Induct the 1980s cellular phone that's like the size of a small car or something.
Well, that's the Motorola. They called it the brick, and for good reason. It was shaped like one and weighed just about as much, too. I remember those damn things. So, but, yeah, no, that'd be a good one. You brought up the celebrity wing. Never mind Stacy Keibler for a minute. Can you think of somebody who would be an acceptable candidate?
Bob Barker.
Oh, Betty White.
Both of them. What about William Shatner? Really good friends with Jerry Lawler. He's done stuff with WWE in the past. Would you put him in?
I don't know. Is he going to spend 4 hours saying thank you to his mother?
Oh, no. Bill's not. He'll spend 4 hours thanking himself, which is a first.
I actually went and rewatched the 2014 Hall of Fame the other day, and I rewatched Mr. T. I sat through Mr. T's speech, and everybody afterwards making so much fun of him and his mother, everything. I'm like, oh my God, I'm surprised he didn't blow up backstage or something.
Well, I'm sure that he just took it as a good-natured rib because he carried on too long. He knew that he went too far. I'm sure he knew.
Well, at some point, it went from a speech to a sermon.
Yeah.
Just slightly over the top. Just a little bit.
Well, you know, he did wind up becoming extremely religious in the last several years. So.
Oh, I hadn't noticed.
You couldn't tell?
Couldn't.
Guy hides it well. But you can thank his mother for that.
He did.
You knew that was coming. And, of course, you had to trump me by saying he did, bugger.
Mama, Jesus, Jesus, Mama, Jesus, Mama.
There you go. Yeah, no, but seriously, as far as being inducted in the celebrity wing, am I off base, or can you see Shatner being given the nod?
I don't even remember what he did.
I think he was just a guest host for one evening.
Well, at point in time,
yeah.
Chase
Merriman, though, has sort of put in the one that will probably be going in, and that would be Lemmy from Motorhead, because, you know, his association with Triple H.
Well, with Triple H and all the music that he put together for various incarnations of Triple H and his factions. I don't have a problem with Lemmy going in. I really don't, tell you the truth.
No, I don't either.
Well, you know, you stop and you think about it. Would anybody have any objections to Lemmy being the guy given the nod this year?
No. Outside of maybe Kid Rock pissed off because he's done more songs for wrestling.
Well, yeah, I don't see Kid Rock being pissed off, though. Just because that's not the nature of the beast with him. I mean, this is the guy that doesn't care if you do an illegal download because he's already gotten paid for his songs. All right. Yeah. I don't know. You guys have anybody you could name besides Lemmy or Shatner?
Not off the top of my head.
I mean, this year, it just seems to be kind of slim pickings as far as that goes.
Which is weird considering we are in an era that was preceded by the guest hosts. Mm-hmm. You would think that at least some of them would do something nowhere. Like, you know, I toss Bob Barker out there at one because get it before he's like can't get it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is up there.
Yeah.
But also just because he was really entertaining as the host.
It was fun watching him put Jericho in his place, that's for sure.
Can we have the Muppets go into the Hall of Fame?
Oh, I don't hate that idea. I really don't hate that idea one bit.
Inducted by Sheamus.
They have to make this big podium so the puppeteer can hide behind it.
But yeah, no, Mace, she brought it up. Sheamus would have to do the induction, especially after that backstage thing that they did with what is the name of that Muppet? Beaker.
Beaker.
Yeah. Oh, tell Anto I can't make it, or whatever that line was. And we're like, I knew it.
that was beautifully meta. Everyone was making the jokes before that even happened.
No, that was fun. That was a lot of fun, that one was. But they wouldn't have to make an overly big, oversized podium. They didn't for the Slammy Awards. I mean, the Muppets were on the Slammy Awards, weren't they? Was that it?
I can't remember.
I was sure of it, but I can't, you know, I could be wrong, and the odds are, well, anybody will tell you the odds are pretty good I was. So, anyway. You guys hear about Scott Hall revealing in an interview with SportsIllustrated.com what his initial reaction to hearing Sting would lose to Triple H at WrestleMania 31 was?
It was in the run sheet, so yes.
You're not supposed to point that out. That's opening up the curtain, man.
Oh no, suck it up, kayfabe's
like
dead.
Kayfabe.
But, yeah.
Well, for the people who don't know, Tim, how about you go over the article for us?
Well, he was just saying that he was there, obviously involved in his match at WrestleMania, and they were rehearsing the match in California last year at Levi's Stadium, and it's, you know, the Click and the New Age Outlaws out there, and they all know each other. Then there's Sting. Doesn't really know anybody. He's the outsider. You know, he's just...
Irony.
Yeah, no kidding. You're calling him an outsider. But... saying that he was saying Sting probably just never felt comfortable there, and being hurt was an answered prayer for him, you know, just let it end. Now he's talking about Sting's career, of course, just like let it be over with. And he pointed out Vince will never go with something he never, you know, he personally didn't ever create. And that's not something that we don't know. And that's not something that has been a surprise to any of us for, well, quite a long time now.
Yeah, not a huge surprise there. Which I think we pretty much called that.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not a surprise that we would find all of this out. And like you said, we called it. It was kind of cool the way that they presented it. At least you know, they wound up making it WWE versus WCW. And of course, WWE had to win because WWE won and it was a WWE program. Even if WWE had lost, I'm sure Vince would have, had creative spin it so that, WWE would have won anyway at the match. So,
yeah. It's just amazing Sting didn't work heel in that match for no reason.
Worry about the same ace?
Oh, it's just that Sting, you know, just on name value alone, the fact that they had him for WrestleMania should have been enough just to at least let him have one. Yeah, as we said earlier in the show, he's 0-2 in that company.
Mm-hmm.
And even as Scott Hall said, you know, that injury is probably the best thing for him. It's just a shame that Sting couldn't go out on a high note rather than just, you know, another reminder that Vince McMahon bought WCW and now he finally got the last WCW holdout and got him to job to his son-in-law.
Yeah.
Triple H and the shovel once again.
Well, you know, just a case of it was a guaranteed loss because it was Triple H, no matter what. So, which is too bad.
Yeah, what happened to the Triple H that used to put over talent?
Waiting for it. I don't think
it was an actual legitimate question.
Okay. Being a legitimate question, I have no answer for you on that one. What talent has Triple H put over in his career?
The Undertaker. That kid needed it.
I don't really think that counts.
You know, as much as we joke, eventually, Daniel Bryan?
Yeah, but would Daniel Bryan have gone over if all the fans hadn't have made such a fuss? I mean, was that WWE's plan from the outset or eventually? Or was it they felt like they were boxed into a corner and...
That was entirely Punk fucked us. We have to go with whatever's popular just to get a good reaction.
So, circumstances leading to an outcome that wound up being favorable for the fans, not necessarily for the people in church.
Yes, because as we know, that catering to the fans is not what is best for business.
Oh, no. Never please the fans, no matter what you do.
Hey, we've been at it for years.
So, I don't know. What are you going to do? Tammy Sitch is in the news again, guys.
God.
For doing who this time or getting arrested for what?
And within what infection?
Well, yeah, exactly. Actually, how would you like to own a WWE Hall of Fame ring? All you need is a starting bid of $3,000.
Is the syphilis cleaned off?
I would hope so. And if not, then I would demand that it get soaked in alcohol, rubbing alcohol, and bleach before it gets shipped.
I might prefer holy water, too, just in case.
Not that I believe in that stuff, but sure, you know, anything that might potentially help. Well, Tammy Sitch apparently has her WWE Hall of Fame ring on eBay, and the starting bid for it is $3,000. And she's saying that despite the fact she's got multiple DUI charges, selling the ring has nothing to do with her legal issues. Yeah, she said it's time to let go of the past and selling the ring is the right way to get back on track. I guess she just wants to be a full-time Skype cam whore.
Or it's not paying the bills, so fork up the one thing of value she still has.
Yeah. You know, you see people like Tammy Sitch and you wonder, how can they be so lazy? Just like, go get it. If you got to flip burgers until you figure something out, do it. You don't just sit around on your ass hoping people give you money because you used to be somebody.
She used to be somebody?
Back in the early mid-90s, apparently.
No.
Yeah, she was a big deal. Just ask her. But at least this time she hasn't beaten anybody up or fallen, you know, passed out behind the wheel of a car in the Walmart parking lot trying to leave the parking lot this time.
Not yet.
Not yet, no. Well, not this time. I mean, her last arrest was for passing out behind the wheel of her car in the Walmart parking lot. You remember that, don't you?
I honestly get tired of trying to keep track of her arrest records.
Soap opera writers on daytime TV can pay attention to some of the shit she does. And no, let me take that back. Nobody'd believe it. Nobody would believe those storylines. So, I don't know. just a reminder, everybody, next Sunday, we're on an hour later because it's the Royal Rumble next Sunday night, which means we got a couple of things to do tonight. We're going to preview the Royal Rumble and run through our Quick'em thing.
Quick'em.
Quick picks. Quick'em. Royal Rumble entry numbers for the Royal Rumble contest. Here at our network, we're going to do that tonight as well. In the meantime and in between time, don't go anywhere. We're going to take our first time out of the evening. We'll be back in just a few.
Jamming good with Webb and Gilly and the spiders from Mars. They played it left hand, but made it too far. Became the special man, then we were Ziggy's band. Ziggy really sang, screwed up our...
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
It is that time once again for the Wrestling Radio Awards, and we need your help. The RAC has been nominated for Male Interview of the Year with Seth Rollins, Female Interview of the Year with Miss Alicia Fox, and of course, Show of the Year. What we need you to do is vote once a day. Support us in this year's Wrestling Radio Awards by voting at www.wrestlingradioawards.com.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Wow, apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a good thing or something.
Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird shit becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a... fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot. But,
watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? Oh, I thought the people were going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
That's the horse you have, that's the horse you
have. Gundam style. Love you from the Gundam
style. Oh, not the pelvic thrust. What, Mr. Sumi in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I know what you.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. Wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Thursday nights, the Rock lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin', as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is King from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rock. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Yeah, welcome back. WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And I'm sure that you've got it all figured out by now. Paying tribute to David Bowie all night long tonight with our intro and extra tunes. One hell of an artist, the late, great David Bowie. Don't forget, everybody, you can take us with you when you're on the go. Tune into any Wild Talk Radio programming with the TuneIn app, absolutely 100% free. All you got to do is download the TuneIn app on your mobile device and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And apparently we've got at least one person tuned in on TuneIn, and that would be Chase Merriman, who was at a WTR or a WWE house show, WWE house show earlier this evening, and I guess he's listening to us on TuneIn. On his drive home. So, somebody's paying attention to us on TuneIn. So that's a good thing. Just saying. So, back to, our little, bits of news and notes. Last Monday night, Kalisto beat the U.S. champion, Alberto Del Rio, to win the title. Winds up losing it on SmackDown.
And welcome to booking that makes me not really give a shit about the company at all.
It's just
like, hey, We suddenly have Kalisto, who's starting to get over, and we put a title on him, and then he loses it next week on SmackDown, only to probably win it back at the Royal Rumble. Hot potato makes belts worthless.
What's your take on this, Omega?
I really don't get why they did this.
I could tell you exactly why they did this.
Because anything can happen in the WWE.
Oh, fuck off. No, it all had exactly to do with drumming up viewership for SmackDown.
Well, of course.
And that's the only reason they did it, in case you people listening didn't have that figured out.
It's shock value booking.
Yep.
Thanks. Well, the only reason we do this is because people aren't expecting it, which is the TNA strategy in every single thing they do.
Yeah, and yeah, we've noticed how popular and successful that's been in their history, eh?
Yeah.
Dixie Carter.
See, I thought that type of crash TV booking died when Vince Russo lost any and all jobs that he had.
Apparently not. Some people must have been taking notes from good old Vinnie Roo, which is too bad because, yeah. It's
just, why?
It's shite.
Why on earth would you take notes from that man?
That would just be – that's because they're lazy. It's got to be, right?
God, I wouldn't copy his math homework, let alone his writing style.
Good shot, Omega. Good shot. Yeah. You know, I think it was just last weekend I was saying, you know, I miss the days when we could see a title change on Raw and be surprised by it because we weren't expecting it. And I definitely wouldn't have been expecting title change happening, you know, which is what happened. However, it just totally, totally ruins the entire effect when you wind up just giving it back to him, basically on the following night's tapings.
Just goes to show everything gets better for people when a Sin Cara is injured.
Yeah, and that goes back to me saying it's the character that's cursed and not the person in the getup.
It's the mask.
It's got to be the mask. He can't see out of that thing, right?
That's what, I mean, they should just run that. Like that's the storyline. It's a cursed mask. It gives him the abilities of a luchador, but it comes at a price.
The ability to actually have any coordination.
It really is kind of scary. Just like, because I will say this Sin Cara is better, not by a long shot though.
Not by very much.
No.
Marginally.
Marginally. There's the word for it.
Marginally better.
The new one kind of improves Sin Cara.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay. So if they hadn't have reverted and given the title back to Del Rio, would you guys figure that this would have been a step in the right direction?
Honestly, yeah. I mean, you give someone new a title, you make it seem, you know, somewhat important because it's being defended and captured on Raw, not just, you know, not just where you have to pay to see it. And, you know, it's an honest reward for someone who's like busting his ass literally.
In more ways than one, yeah. I mean, Kalisto, he's a very entertaining wrestler, definitely. Of course, got the whole Rey Mysterio type idea going with his size and, you know, overcoming the odds and all this stuff. But they go.
I love that, like, the Rey Mysterio idea is being small.
Well,
that it was an idea he had one day.
I'll just go to if work. Small.
Well, you know someone, I need to be Rey Mysterio. Someone take my legs out under the knees.
You know what I was taught. You know what I was meaning when I said what I said, so don't pick on me now. So, but yeah, I can understand giving the belt back to Del Rio, but I just think it was stupid for them to pull the trigger like that. Especially that quickly. To me personally, it would have been more acceptable if they had let Kalisto hold on to it until Royal Rumble, or even the night after. What do you think?
That'd be the easy solution. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Logical solution.
Yeah, and it just wouldn't seem quite so stupid or cheap. Right?
Well, to be fair, now we're talking like booking 101 for WWE.
There you go. What are you saying, Mace?
It's like Kalisto wins the belt back at the Royal Rumble. Now he's a two-time U.S. champion. Doesn't hold the same appeal as the shock value of winning it on Raw.
Yeah.
It just makes it look like it's like, you know, seeing a midget punch out the World Heavyweight Champion in boxing. You know, it was just a lucky punch.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't need to see the lucky punch gimmick done again. We saw that with Daniel Bryan when they failed, you know, to try and get him going with that type of shit. It's just weird, like, some of these guys get over so well, and they put on good matches, and suddenly people get behind them, and then WWE comes along and just goes, hey, guess what? We're going to take a sledgehammer to your knees. You know, you win the U.S. title. Hey, this means good things for you. Oh, wait, you're losing it tomorrow on SmackDown.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, why even bother showing up for work then, boss? You know?
Well, okay, here's a stupid thing. Since Del Rio has come back, you know, all that goodwill and hype and excitement we used to have for the U.S. title matches? All that's dead in the fucking water now.
That was something that they did a damn good job building up. And let's face it, we all kind of sort of look forward to the U.S. Open title challenge, right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of scary because it's such an obvious Cena wins lull part of the show, but it honestly put on some really good matches that I can't really complain about.
Well, it was at the point where, okay, I know Cena's going to beat this guy, but I don't care. I'm going to be entertained for the next 10 or 15 minutes, and the guy that Cena beats is going to be made to look really good. And that's exactly what was happening during the title challenges every Monday night. It was
a showcase match.
Yeah.
It was showcasing talent that would have a nice and bright future in the company if half of them didn't get injured. But, you know, it was something that we stopped going, oh yeah, Cena wins lol, to, oh, this is an interesting matchup. Let's see what these two can do.
Mm-hmm.
And along with that, they built up the US title with it. Then we had the capper to all of that, which was, oh my god, Del Rio's back. Del Rio just pinned Cena. What the fuck? And since then, Del Rio's been a background player in the League of Boring Gimmicks.
Yep.
And you know, when he finally drops the title to Kalisto, who's had one of probably the most rocket-propelled popularity surges in recent years, all of a sudden, then it's like, yeah, Kalisto's won the belt, and he loses on SmackDown. What was the point of Monday?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'll admit it.
They built up the U.S. title and the challenges that go with it, and then they turned around and looked at it and went, oh, that's getting really good. I like this building that we've built. What's this? A book of matches? Cool. We're going to set the fucking thing on fire and burn it to the ground. Why? Because.
Now, the problem is the U.S. title open challenge. That was John Cena's thing. They couldn't dare do it with somebody like Del Rio. That would be gimmick infringement, wouldn't it?
Because God forbid that we have a heel that has some semblance of, you know, honor and pride in what he is and what he... Wait, that's describing Del Rio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we've had the cowardly heel. We've had the heel that refused to do any title defense or anything like that unless absolutely backed into a corner completely. You can still be a heel and say, come out, do you think you can take the title from me? Prove it. And be a real dick about it instead of being...
Exactly.
Alberto Del Rio's I'm better than all of you challenge.
Exactly. You know, you change the name a little bit and you have him come out and go, you know what, I can beat any man in that locker room. Who's coming out this week to get their ass kicked?
Yeah.
And that's how you could have continued it and it could have kept building the U.S. title. And then then when Kalisto won the belt, you know what they would have been doing? Establishing a new babyface, a popular babyface. And I mean, they fucked it all up.
I mean, Monday night, I popped. Kalisto won the title, I popped. And then, you know, I saw the advertisement for SmackDown. Oh, in a rematch for the title on SmackDown, Kalisto defends against... And I'm like, jeez, I'm not even going to bother fucking watching.
Well, that's the thing. I saw that they were going to do the replay. I'm like, all right, cool. This is where you cement that it wasn't a fluke.
Yep.
This is where you start building Kalisto as a new big baby face for the mid-card division.
Yep.
Then I went and checked the spoilers. And it was, oh, Del Rio beats Kalisto. And I was like, well, okay, then what the fuck was the point of the last 4 or 5 weeks with Kalisto going on a singles run?
Yeah, an absolute goddamn waste of time. Has anybody heard anything about any of the matches lined up for tomorrow night?
Only what we've seen on this piece of paper that we're not supposed to mention on the air.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's stupid. We were supposed to give our thoughts about this. I think we have.
Too long didn't read version is it's stupid.
Yep. And, of course, our next thing is to talk about The Rock posting on Instagram commenting about the best part of WWE today. And I didn't read this thing. I suppose I should have.
The general gist of it was, back in my day when I was a part of the highest point of wrestling in the last 30 years, but that being the Attitude Era, I was doing everything that I wanted to do, and I had no fear about going to Vince McMahon and saying, hey, I want to do this, without having to worry about my ass being de-pushed or anything. You know, I went and I grabbed the brass ring because I'm Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and I believe that anybody can just go up to Vince McMahon and say, hey, I want to do this because I know it will make money, you know, because there's not a whole heap of writers there holding people back and believing that they know how to do wrestling better than the wrestlers. But, you know, because it worked in my day, it works now. Shut up, Dwayne.
Not exactly an absolute huge fan of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, are you now?
Okay, it's got absolutely nothing to do... Like, okay, I was trying to buy you some time so you could read this thing. Okay? And fuck, you know what? Fuck it. Oh, fuck it. I'll read it so everybody can get the gist of all this shit.
Okay.
1998, Attitude Era was a supremely special time for us. As a roster, we were setting box office records every night, in every city, in every arena that we played. We and the company were all making great money and having a blast nightly living on the road. WWE wasn't a publicly traded company at the time, which inherently meant we were all a little bit crazier and a lot fucking rowdier back then, including the fans. As an OG of the wrestling business... This is where the ego starts to kick in. It's very cool to see where the WWE has evolved to and more interesting to me. is where it eventually goes. This guy needs to learn how to fucking do grammar properly. Over the years when I was wrestling full-time, I'd always talk with Vince McMahon about our goals. The biggest goals he had for the company and my number one goal, which was to grab the WWE title, a.k.a. the brass ring, and take it places it's never been or will ever go again. We accomplished that and so much more. Here's the best part about the WWE today. That brass ring is always up for grabs for anyone in the locker room who has the balls and the smarts to take it and run, and most importantly, prove to the company that they can draw more money better than anyone else on the roster.
Yeah, big, huge difference is it's like night and day between then and now. Things are a lot more tightly controlled from higher up and from behind the scenes than they were back then. And he does have a point. Back when he was wrestling and everything, they had a chance to be a little more creative.
Well, yes, and also you got to remember there's a difference between WWE back then when it was a private company owned by Vince McMahon and could do whatever the fuck he wanted to do because he had to answer to no one, yep, versus the current day product in which Vince McMahon is the chief executive officer of the company and has to answer to shareholders and a board of fucking directors.
Yep. So
there are a lot more restrictions placed upon the company by not only the FCC, but the fact that they are a publicly traded company right now and they have an image to protect and a stock price to protect.
And when you go public, you've got this whole board of directors and you've got shareholders and all these people you have to appease. And in my purview, all it's done is water down the product. It hasn't helped.
It's slapped handcuffs and ball and chains on the arms and legs of every single person in that company.
Yep.
Because you take a look at it, since they've gone public, the only guys that have really made it are the ones that they manufactured, such as John Cena.
Yep.
There's no room for creativity to shine. When creativity is shined, we use the random example as per usual of Zack Ryder, who went out there, got himself over through different means other than what the WWE approved for him. They turned around, they gave him a little bit of a chance, and then cut the legs out from under him, and now he's jobbing on fucking NXT with, what's his fate?
Mojo Rawley.
As the hype bros.
Which proves that even if you are a WWE employee earning WWE money, they still will not use anything that wasn't a WWE idea.
Exactly. And to hear The Rock say it just reeks of this arrogance of, well, this is what worked back in my day. Well, yeah, good for you. It worked for you back in your day because back then, Vince was more open to ideas and more willing to take risks with the product, which is why you got a fucking chance instead of being, the guy who dances around in fucking blue and yellow ribbons for his entire fucking career. It's why Stone Cold Steve Austin was allowed to break out from being the ringmaster and become Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's why Triple H went from being a blue blood to being this, badass metal loving guy who beats your face in with a sledgehammer. The guys are allowed to have this creativity. And it seems that nowadays creativity, unless it is highly marketable, will get cut out from underneath you. John Cena got over with his rapping thing. They went public. All of a sudden, that rapping's got to stop, John. But we're going to make you a nice, clean, all-American boy. Because that's what sells. And then, surprisingly enough, and now you're starting to see the end, the legs being chopped out, the fucking New Day. They took something that was a lot of fun, they're getting over as hell, but man, are they starting to get their legs chopped out from under them. Starting the job to the League of Nations and the social outcasts, and now they are the people who are putting over people instead of, being the ones who are over.
Well, that goes back to my big argument with the WWE is that nobody is allowed to be over. Everyone is just even. No matter how popular you are, no matter how dominant you should be, unless you are Brock Lesnar, your record is even. You have wins, you have losses, and nobody looks any better than anybody else at any one time.
Unless the WWE allows you to look better, but even then, you're still playing.
Yeah, unless you make $3 million a year off of us.
Well, even Roman Reigns, you know, he's meant to be the guy who's meant to be the man right now, and even his record is sitting at even, which is just stupid. You know, no, that's one of the biggest things. You can't get over with something that is not WWE approved. You can't get over with something that makes you look better than anybody else. And it's turned a product that went from a must-watch, you know, 5.4 to 6.0 rated show to being a 3.3, 3.2, 3.1, 3.0, 2.9, 2.6, 2.what the fuck rated show. You have a fan base now who, instead of tuning in every week because they must see what happens next in your stories, are tuning in just because, well, there's nothing else to watch on Monday night. Or, you know, well, we paid for the WWE Network to relive the glory days that we enjoyed wrestling with all that, all the archive stuff. Well, we might as well watch the latest pay-per-view since we're paying $9.99 for it. It's completely different. Completely different eras, completely different stocks and standards in the company. And it gets really annoying when somebody comes out and goes, it worked back in my day, so it should work now. Sorry. The business has changed. The way it is handled has changed.
Yeah, you might as well be talking about, well, why aren't you using... You might as well talk like, well, why aren't you using Telegraph anymore? It worked back then.
Exactly. You know, could you imagine if Rocky Maivia came into the WWE today and he was saddled with that little tassel cheerleader gimmick thing that he was started out with? Do you think we would ever see him suddenly go from that type of guy to being the militant heel that he was with the Nation of Domination and then morph into the Hollywood star that we had today?
No. No,
exactly. They would have shoved Rocky Maivia, complete with the tassels and the whole bit and the family history, down everybody's throats until they revolted like the fans revolt against.
Well, not even that. That gimmick, because he got so much hate at the time. Okay, you got to remember, this is where the Die Rocky Die chance came from, was that Rocky Maivia gimmick. If he got that much of a negative reaction today, he would have been let go before he even had a chance to turn heel.
Oh, absolutely.
Or he would have been the GM for SmackDown for years and years.
Hala hala.
No. I wasn't going with that SmackDown GM. I'm going with one of the people actually didn't like.
Oh, I just heard Omega echoing for a second there. I was like, what? Yeah. The fuck?
I got a really weird echo on my end. Like, I thought my headset was possessed for a moment.
Get out, demons!
That was very weird.
By the name of the Lord and Mama, I cast you out!
Wait, the Lord and Mama?
Maybe Mr. T doing it. It's a callback to a previous joke.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I don't know. The Rock, maybe his thought processes are coming from a good spot, but it's in this day and age somewhat irrelevant.
Oh, indeed. And this is what happens when you only show up once a year.
Yeah. When you show up, you're the VIP and you don't actually know what it's like in the locker room for everybody else
anymore, because things are totally different than they used to be. Yeah, so moving on, guys, quick little discussion. Would it be a good idea to bring back a commissioner? Like, not like somebody in charge like the authority, but a baby face commissioner. Somebody who is able to overrule and, you know, Mick Foley type.
I would be in favor of any kind of authority figure who isn't, like, totalitarian, you know, just, like, so overtly obvious pro-heel.
Yeah.
Like, someone who just isn't outwardly villainous at all times and obviously is not keeping the best interest of the company in mind, not keeping the best interest of the fans in mind, and to the point making you wonder, how the hell does this person keep their job when they aren't doing anything that would make them money?
Yeah, we need to go back to the days of of Jack Tunney and J.J. Dillon. You know, the guys are there when there's an issue with a title ruling or some sort of like rule clarification that needs to be done, or you know, title needs to be stripped or something like that. Other than that, we just don't see them. You know, we just need somebody who is there to enforce the rules of the business, and that's it. You know, not babyface, not heel, not trying to be in a storyline. An authority figure who is just there when we need somebody to come out and say, okay, there was a bit of controversy last night. According to the rules of the WWE bylaws, we have section X, Y, Z. In this case, it gives outcome.
Yep.
I'll see you in 6 months.
See, I don't mind an authority figure that shows up more often, but it needs to be kept... Like, you need to have the authority figure there, like... so sparingly that when they do show up, it's oh fuck type reaction. Like these days, Vince Sr. gets an oh fuck type reaction. Because now, the daughter and the son-in-law aren't getting things done, so now Big V has to come in and handle things himself. You know, it needs to be more slanted toward that, but for you know, pretty much any authority figure. Because I do understand wanting the storyline of, well, you know, this one's going to play to this guy's favor, and this one's going to play this one's favor, and just someone they could go to backstage and go, I want a match. But then again, it's not necessary to actually show, you know, someone going to the back and saying, I want a match. No, you just, like, come back from commercial break, and there's a little promo plug. All right, you know. You know, due to the altercation earlier, this match is now official. And even though we have authority figures, there's still matches that get set up that way.
Yeah.
Which kind of just proves how useless it is to have somebody there just for someone to go shout at.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. We need somebody there to do these things. And, you know, I'd still keep Vince as the, oh shit, somebody has royally fucked up, you know. It's like any business. If you get the CEO or the head of the company noticing your fuck up and they have to come down to speak with you personally, then you know shit's going to hit the fan. But in the meantime, you still have your mid-level management who runs things on the day-to-day basis. And when they come out to say something to you, then it's like, okay, there's a bit of an issue. You know, to be honest, we need somebody in that position whose last name isn't McMahon or has a wedding ring on their finger married to a McMahon. We need somebody who is independent.
Sorry, Linda.
From all that shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
For how many years have we seen Steph as a general manager or something along those lines? Way too fucking many. Who have been the more popular general managers, commissioners? Foley,
Austin,
Heyman, Austin,
Regal.
Can't really
Regal, Teddy Long. People who are independent from the McMahon family. So when as Omega said, Big V comes to town, you know somebody done fucked up.
When Big V comes to town. Okay, name somebody right now. Name a commissioner starting tomorrow night.
Bring back Teddy Long. Or bring Regal up from NXT.
Can Regal do both?
He could, but then, you know, there'd be the conflicts. That, you know, then you could do a future storyline of, like, conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. If you want to go down that route. But then again, I'm so sick of seeing authority figures in major storylines.
Yeah, but the conflict of interest thing, that could be just a minor storyline and a very short thing where they, you know, like, we're going to name you commissioner. It's going to last this long. Then all of a sudden, somebody's going to say conflict of interest, blah, blah, blah. And the next episode, we'll bring back Teddy Long for 3 months.
You know who I'd like to see as commissioner?
Who that?
Edge.
I don't hate that idea. He's doing that WWE Network TV show with Christian. So, you know, he's obviously got enough time, right?
You could actually make it so that Edge is the authority figure on Raw. Christian is the authority figure on SmackDown.
That would just reek of awesomeness, wouldn't it?
Only if they redo each show's opening theme with kazoos. But yeah, like that's something that we need. We need, like, if WWE can't really create friction. Like, here's the stupid thing. I'm starting to miss the days of the roster split, as fucking weird as that sounds. But you think about it, back in those days when you had Raw versus SmackDown, there was some sort of internal competition to try and make the shows better. And the segments between, you know, Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff at times were great.
Well,
you know, or Teddy and Bischoff, you know, with each of them trying to get under each other's skin, trying to take each other's talent. It actually created some sort of drama that made you want to watch both shows.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to throw another name into the ring here for commissioner. Guys, don't razz me on this. This is not coming from me. I'm getting a text message.
It's going to be Bret Hart.
It's a younger listener. Listening with his mother and his brother. Boy's name is Tommy. Tommy, how you doing? Thanks for tuning in with your mom and your brother. He asked, why not Bret the Hitman Hart?
Because they need someone who's actually able to walk more than four steps without looking like they're going to collapse.
But at the same time, if you do something like Edge, Christian, Bret Hart, somebody like that, don't you almost have to have them have their own storylines or something like that? Non-physical, non-combative, of course, but... Or non-competitive, combative, different.
But that's the biggest problem, though. When you bring in ex-wrestlers into this, it almost ends up being that way. It's like you have to put them in a storyline because they have that notoriety.
Yeah. And let's face it, something like Edge, Christian, Bret Hart, Regal, they are going to, at least temporarily... for at least the short term, they are going to pop the crowd.
Yeah, but think about it also this way. Why not get, say, maybe Charles Robinson to be a commissioner?
Little nature boy.
Bring up somebody who's a different member of staff other than a wrestler to get the, just so you get the cheap pop.
Bring back Eric.
To be honest, I would welcome an Eric Bischoff return.
Why the fuck not? Seriously, why not bring back Eric?
But, okay, not to once again to go back to Teddy Long as the example.
Yeah.
Teddy Long was a referee who became a manager and then became, you know, an authority figure. And he was one of the most popular authority figures that WWE has ever produced. Because he was entertaining, he was a bit of a showman, but he didn't need to be the focus like a wrestler would.
Yeah. Holla holla.
Tag matches all night, and somebody's going up against The Undertaker.
Tag matches all night. Hey, we might actually have a resurgence of a good tag division. Bring back Teddy Long.
Yeah. Once they call up everybody from NXT.
I do love that when they actually brought Teddy back for like the big anniversary SmackDown. Just to book a gigantic tag match.
Oh, that was great. Love that. But yeah, like, this is the thing. The authority figure has very much run its course.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we need to pull that role back about 4 million paces. Because since the Austin McMahon feud, there has always been some sort of authority figure in control that either starts out as a babyface and then becomes corrupted by their own power, or they're already a heel and they just want to be out there to make all the heels look good and give them an advantage.
Yep.
And it's been like that since, geez, what are we at? Probably nearly 20 years?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was saying get rid of the authority. I was saying that almost a year ago. I've just been so over.
God. You know what I would love at this point? Is someone put in charge by the McMahons who's just obviously corrupt to the core and going to do whatever the fuck the McMahons want, who suddenly discovers he kind of likes doing what the fans want and getting the adulation from it. Like, turn him good and, like, well, the McMahons created their own worst enemy here that now they can't get anything done on Raw because this guy's going to do what the crowd wants.
That sounds like a good storyline. How dare you suggest that?
You know the rules.
How dare you suggest something that might actually be enjoyable, Omega?
I'm sorry.
To the corner.
I'm going to go in the corner.
Oh, no. Bring him out of the corner.
I'm sorry. We'll bring back Vicky Guerrero. Okay.
You know what the stupid thing is? I wouldn't even mind saying that at the moment.
Bring back Vicky.
That is how bad this authority thing has been to me. I would welcome a Vicky Guerrero return.
Yeah. Well, this is what I was pointing out. You know, if we're saying bring back Vicky, holy Christ, there's a problem, right?
Well, and fucking truly.
No kidding. Yeah. Well, on that note, everybody, we're going to take our second time out of the evening right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. WTR Sunday Night is the webcast that you're listening to. And you're listening to us on the Wild Talk Radio Network or various places around the interwebs or on TuneIn, on the TuneIn app on your mobile device. And thank you very much for tuning in. That's a lot of tune-ins. We got the Royal Rumble Pick'em coming up on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere, because right after that, we're giving you, if you've entered the contest, your Royal Rumble entry number. Stay tuned. Was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me. I've never caught a glimpse how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test. Changes.
Turn and face the strain. Changes. Don't wanna be a richer man. Changes. Turn and face the strain. Changes. There's gonna have to be a different man. Time may change me. Size, but never leave the stream of warm and permanent sand. So the days float through my eyes, but still the days seem the same. And these children that you spit on as they
out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
It is that time once again for the Wrestling Radio Awards, and we need your help. The Rack has been nominated for Male Interview of the Year with Seth Rollins, Female Interview of the Year with Miss Alicia Fox, and of course, Show of the Year. What we need you to do is vote once a day. Support us in this year's Wrestling Radio Awards by voting at www.wrestlingradioawards.com.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, suplex city, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now,
and the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not gonna sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow wow wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
You think you know me.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Apparently, no one's saying welcome back to WTR Sunday Night live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Oh, we had a microphone malfunction.
Right. That's the case. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We're about to hear probably a really loud noise because someone's trying to get their shit to work.
Oh, God, hang on.
Everyone, cover your ears or take your headphones off because someone's... But there it was. There's the loud noise I was talking about. Last time it squealed too, and I don't want to hear any squealing. But we're back. It's Wrestling Talk. It's Wrestle Talk Radio, presented by PWMania.com. We're getting into the Royal Rumble as soon as Tim gets his stuff working properly. You can tweet us all throughout the show like Chase has, since he's listening on TuneIn Radio. He's listening on TuneIn Radio, and he's been tweeting me all night. And I've been passing them on to you guys as we go. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio.
I've been reading them, yeah. Thanks for tuning in on TuneIn, Chase. Hope that you enjoyed the WWE house show that you were at earlier tonight.
And now he's going to Raw, and then he's going to SmackDown.
Well, good for him. I hope he has a good goddamn time.
So he's traveling about all through the state of Ohio to go see wrestling.
Open Ohio.
Stalker.
Yeah, he's stalking people. It's pretty much the case.
There you go.
So anyway, Tim's mic is working now. So
yeah, it's working now. You played an ad for The Rack and The Rack Extra. Did you know that The Rack Radio Show is up for several awards again this year?
Yeah, I also played a commercial promoting this too, just so you're aware.
The Wrestling Radio Awards?
Yeah, we are. We're up for Show of the Year.
Show of the Year. You've got Male Interview of the Year with Seth Rollins, and Alicia Fox is Female Interview of the Year. So that's three separate categories that The Rack has been nominated for. Yeah. And last year, they won an award.
We won Editor's Choice Media Interview of the Year. I think it was, or something. No, or it was Female Interview, one of the two. Can't remember exactly.
And the year before, Best New Show.
Yeah, a couple of years prior, yeah. So,
yeah.
We've won an award just about every year so far, so.
Multi-award winning, The Rack, radio show. Now, you know why I keep saying that, because, well, The Rack has won several awards, and if they actually gave out little physical, things, then, Lindsay would have at least two, maybe three up on her mantle.
More than that. We have like four or five. Yeah.
Oh, let's get her another four or five. Voting is now open.
Yeah, you can go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com and vote once a day, midnight to midnight. So if you vote like now, you can vote a half hour from now because it's midnight to midnight. If you're on the East Coast, your midnight to midnight is the time zone. So.
Yeah, now we really want you to vote, so please do so. I'm gonna be voting every day. Seeing as you're allowed to do it once a day, I'll be doing it once a day.
There you go. So Tim, what was the best interview Wrestle Talk Radio did way back in the day?
Oh my god. Don't put me on the spot like that.
Just throw one out there. Like, did you win for like Jerry Lawler or something?
Well, we did win for Jerry Lawler, as a matter of fact. That was Russell Talk Radio won the media award.
Media Interview of the Year. So with this new voting system for this year, since it's the 20th anniversary of AudioWrestling.com.
Yeah.
You can now go back and nominate the best show from the last 20 years and the best interview from the past 20 years that you've ever listened to on AudioWrestling.com.
Ooh, so vote for Wrestle Talk Radio's Media Interview of the Year with Jerry the King Lawler.
Yeah, so why are you doing all that?
15 minutes, and he stayed on for like 45.
So there you go. So it's all available at WrestlingRadioAwards.com. Vote for The Rack once a day.
And yes, you have to vote for every category for the votes to register, but it doesn't take any length of time at all. It just takes a couple of minutes. It
takes like 30 seconds or like 7-8 categories. Just go right through a list. Make sure you pick the rack and bam.
Just click a box for every category and make sure that you click the correct boxes for the Rack Radio Show.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So now that the shameless plug is out of the way.
Yeah, it's time for the Royal Rumble Pick'em. This is going to be fun.
Yes, it will.
Because we actually have two tiebreakers for the actual Rumble itself.
Yeah, we do. I'm creative. I thought of two of them. So it's like, hey, why not?
It had nothing to do. We got a lot of rumored matches. Now, of course, we know for a fact that these rumored matches always happen.
90% of the time.
When we list them.
Yeah.
The ones we list always take place.
Yeah.
So, let's actually leave the Roman Reigns versus All Royal Rumble to last with the two tiebreakers.
Oh, okay.
And start out with the WWE Intercontinental Championship last man standing match, which pits the champion Dean Ambrose against Kevin Owens. Mace.
Ambrose.
Omega.
Yeah, I go Ambrose too.
Okay, Rock, are you going to play along tonight or wait till Thursday?
Thursday.
At 10 o'clock Eastern for the Rack.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I got the time right. I'm going Ambrose because what Mace said, Ambrose. And oh yeah, by the way, Starscream Josh and MN0733, they've got the right idea. They're posting their pick'em picks in chat, but at the same time, don't forget to go to facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network and post your pick'ems there. You could even email your pick'ems to media@WildTalkRadioNetwork or wildtalkradio.com.
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
As well. Yeah. So, cause we want to make sure that, your picks are all recorded and they might get missed if you're doing it live with us. It happens.
It happens because sometimes King Kins isn't there and he's, you know, but he's here tonight, I believe.
Is he here tonight? I don't know. I haven't seen him in the chat room. I don't know which one he is.
He's the one talking about Bret Hart. In the chat room. Or Taker, I should say. Talk about Taker. That's what he's doing. Talk about Taker. Taker. Oh Rick my God, it's Taker. Anyway.
There you go. Yeah, so, the next match that we have, well, okay, the rest of them are all rumored.
But based on where the story projections have been going, this is what we think is going
to
happen.
Welcome to one of the biggest pay-per-views of the year, probably the second biggest to WrestleMania. No matches announced.
I remember, yeah, you know, that's what happens.
Yeah, so there you go. WWE Divas Championship. You can expect, Becky Lynch to challenge Charlotte for the title, Omega.
Expecting to, yes.
Well, pick a winner.
Jeez. See, there's this part of my brain that's trying to use intelligence and really wants to pick Becky because there are no other faces for Charlotte to go against.
Uh-huh.
You know, we have this sea of heels that is ripe for a face champion.
Yep.
But then again, this is WWE booking, so Charlotte.
Okay. Mace.
Yeah, Charlotte as well. There's no point in even trying to think about it.
So defeated.
No, I actually fell asleep between questions.
Well, then I'll be as quick as I can here. Yeah, I'm going to make it unanimous, and I'm picking Charlotte, even though by rights, Becky should take it from her. I think they're going to build that feud a little bit longer before they do that, though. WWE U.S. Championship match, expecting Alberto Del Rio to defend against Kalisto. Now, here's where, you know, what we were talking about earlier. It's just going to have, oh, you know, whatever effect with Kalisto winning at the Rumble. I'm still picking Kalisto, Mace.
Good for you.
What are you picking?
Yeah, I'll go Kalisto as well. He'll lose it on Raw the next day.
There, or SmackDown, the tapings on Tuesday. Omega?
Yeah, I'll actually go Kalisto.
Okay. And of course we got the Tag Team Championship would pit the New Day up against the Usos. And I don't know. I think it's this time around they're gonna put the belts on the Usos. Omega.
I think I'll stick with the New Day here.
Fair enough. Mace.
It is time to start cutting the legs off the New Day and their popularity, so let's give it to the Usos.
There you go. Okay, so that's pretty much the only one we got divided there. And of course, now it's the big one, the Royal Rumble, the over-the-top battle royale. The, only time that, in the history of the Royal Rumble that the, WWE World Heavyweight Championship has been, or will have been defended. Of course, champion Roman Reigns is going to try to hold on to it against 29 other competitors. Now, so far, the following superstars have been declared official participants in the match. Roman Reigns, of course, Brock Lesnar, Sheamus, Chris Jericho, Stardust, Bray Wyatt, Eric Rowan, Luke Harper, Braun Strowman, Dolph Ziggler, Ryback, Big Show, Curtis Axel, with more to be announced tomorrow. So, basically, just pick a winner, Omega.
Let's see. There's only two possibilities here.
Yeah.
See, it's either Lesnar or Reigns. And if Lesnar ends up winning, then he goes to Mania with the title, and we basically have a rematch of last year without Seth Rollins.
Yep.
If Reigns wins here, you somehow have to get Lesnar out of the Royal Rumble.
I know how you can get him out. You use Braun Strowman to get him out.
No.
What?
You don't use the rookie to get out Brock Lesnar.
What? You don't want to see Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman at WrestleMania?
No.
I'd rather slip my wrists than to see that.
Okay.
God, I'd rather watch a video of hemorrhoid surgery than a match between those two.
Ouch. Just ouch.
Someone YouTube that stuff. It might come in handy soon.
No, the only way you have to do this is if Brock just literally comes in, you know, throws every single person in the rumble out of the ring and then just goes, fuck it, what am I doing? And just eliminates himself and walks out.
Oh, I got it. I got the perfect person to do it. Maven. Maven hung up the phone.
Yeah. Back in the realm of guys who are never eliminated from the rumble.
Maven. Yeah.
You make me want.
Maybe that's what Curtis Axel gets to do.
There you go. Maven.
I mean, when you go back and watch the old rumbles, it's like, oh hey, Maven eliminated the Undertaker, so, you know.
And then he got put through a popcorn machine.
This is true. That was one of the fun ones. Yeah. Anyway.
That answer was so stupid that I had to hang up and walk away.
Hey, if it's historical, it could happen.
Well, welcome back at least.
I don't know if I'm happy to be here anymore.
I'm going to go with Reigns and think there's some kind of twist ending to Lesnar being in the Rumble.
Okay, fair enough. Mace, how do you see it?
I see it. I don't. That's the thing.
He sees nothing but the graves of his hopes and dreams.
Pretty much. Buried under a landfill of bad ideas. It's just, okay, you know, Brock wins, then you gotta hotshot him a challenger, or you get him up against Roman Reigns again. And sure, they can put on a good match, but all it's gonna do is, you know, hey, we'll probably put the belt back on Roman at WrestleMania, so what's the point of Brock winning at Rumble? Or you let Roman Reigns win and you go with the other rumored idea, which is Roman Reigns versus Triple H, which just makes me want to bash my head against a brick wall until my brains can be used to scroll some graffiti. Just, can I put down I don't care?
No.
Because I have zero fucks to give anymore.
Not unless that ends up being AJ Styles' WWE name.
Even AJ Styles can't save this fucking thing. I'll go for the outside chance, and I'll go with Brock. Brock smash, Brock win.
Subscribe Brock Lesnar as an outside chance.
Yeah, you know, I'm picking
when Brock. When your other option is Super Reigns.
I'm gonna pick Brock Lesnar myself. Just because of that conversation we had last week, the three of us, with how I was really not looking forward to this Rumble, and I was upset because basically it was all over, said and done with as far as I was concerned. And my favorite pay-per-view of the year, in my opinion, for all intents and purposes, was ruined. However, because of that conversation that we had, you made me think once or twice. And now I'm thinking, maybe it will be Brock Lesnar. So, yeah, I'm gonna pick Brock. And of course, we've got two tiebreakers here. Mace, who do you think is gonna have the most eliminations?
Roman Reigns.
Roman?
Yeah, Roman Reigns, and he's gonna throw out fucking 82 people.
Well, that's tiebreaker two. How many people is he gonna eliminate?
He's gonna jump into the crowd and start throwing people over the guardrail.
Pretty much. He's gonna eliminate, you know, all 30 people because Roman Reigns must look strong.
Always.
There you go. Okay. Omega.
On not such a pessimistic route.
No.
Lesnar with 9.
Okay. Well, just for shits and giggles, I'm going to say that it's a tie between Reigns and Lesnar, and they're each going to have 7.
I guess that's the most specific answer we can get out of you for that one. All right, we'll give it to you.
You want me to be more specific?
No, I guess because no one else will probably predict 2 people throwing out the same amount, I guess. I don't know. We'll go with it.
There you go. So, yeah, I'm calling the tie. So, there you are. Now, that being said, everything, of course, is subject to change. And if and when it does, all you got to do is post your final pick and picks on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Email them to media@WildTalkRadio.com.
You can tweet them at Wild Talk Radio. Join the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
Yeah, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, all that fun stuff. You got till about Sunday at like 5 p.m. Eastern. It's
Eastern time, which is 3 o'clock Mountain. And for those who can't do math, that would be 4 o'clock Central p.m. Yeah. Now with all that done, I think it's time for the Royal Rumble entry contest.
Yes, it is. So we have 30 names. I just went to random.org and I picked out a sequence. Tim has a list of names. Tim is going to list a name, and I'm going to give the number.
Yes. And just to clarify for a couple of people that I've had conversations with as to what this is, it's very simple. We give you a number randomly generated. That number is whoever enters Royal Rumble. Like, if you're given 15 and Brock Lesnar's 15, then basically your pick is Brock Lesnar. And if Brock Lesnar winds up winning, then you win the contest. Simple?
Easy, simple, to the point.
Just that easy. So what we're going to be doing here is I've got a list of the 30 participants in the contest, and I'm just going to start randomly picking them.
Yes.
And then we'll see what happens, starting with, oh, what the hell, 6 degrees of Sandow.
7.
Okay, so 6 degrees of Sandow, your number is 7. Let's go to Explicit Mox.
10.
All right, 10 for Explicit Mox. Will.
25.
Is that our Will or a different Will?
Yeah, that's Will McConnell.
That's our Will. Will got number 25?
Yeah, he got number 25.
Would you like to know what's really ironic?
Why?
On the list of names.
Oh, yeah, he's number 25.
He's number 25.
that's good.
Lucky you, Will.
You know, okay. He can go back. Now, if he wins, he can go buy some sex toys off the dude who sells them out of a food cart. Anyway, listen to CB Raider for the story.
There you go. Just randomly picking again the next name. Mace, give him a number.
Mace gets 18.
Ooh, all right. Okay, next we got Matt Anonymous Chatter.
The Seahawk fan.
Wrong with being a Seahawks fan.
They stunk it up today.
Yeah, shut up.
14.
Okay, 14 for Matt Anonymous Chatter. I don't even want to hear anything about the Seahawks today. Pricks piss me off. Okay. Rock, paper, scissors, kick.
6.
Number 6. Let's go and pick, Tyler.
Not the one on the call. 27.
27, not the one on the call. Okay.
You know, I have to be specific there, you know.
Yeah, Adam C.
Adam C gets 4.
4. All right, well, let's give Lindsay a number.
1.
Shut up. Really?
Yeah.
Because she's number 1 on the list as well.
I know.
Didn't expect that once, never mind twice. Oh, this will be fun. Subway.
12.
Subway's 12. All right. Whip Brienne.
Hold on. So Subway's number 12. What number is he going to be after the Royal Rumble?
good point. Whip got 9.
9 for Whip. Okay. Our good old buddy in Japan, Nick Diddy.
17.
Nick, you're 17. Remember that number. All right. Jersey Girl.
26.
Is 26. And we've got Ace. Don't get it wrong. Not Acer, but Ace.
5.
Ace, you're number 5. And of course, next up is country boy Aaron Frost.
Aaron Frost gets number 13.
13 for good old Aaron Frost. He was number 14 on the list, by the way.
So close.
So, okay, Derek Biffle.
21.
What? 21. Alright, is Pierceman in the chat room tonight?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, let's give Chris Pierce a number.
8.
Alright, and, well, you know, he's listening to us and tune in. Chase Merriman, pay attention, this is your number.
20.
Shut up, really?
Yeah.
That's 3 in a row.
Not three in a row, but...
Because he's 20 on the list, on the,
Yeah, I know.
That's awesome. That's just, okay, what is this, pasta salsa?
Yeah.
Okay.
16.
16 for pasta salsa. Right, did we give Omega a number yet?
No, we did not.
Then give Omega his entry number.
He goes, we had 9, Kinkins, we had 9. Just so you're aware. Pierceman has 8, just correcting things in chat room. Omega is 15.
15 for Omega, alright. Lone Jobber.
19.
19 for Jobber. Michael Peterson. Our Swedish Swiss friend. I
24.
What country does he live in?
Sweden.
Swedenland?
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. See, you can't remember either.
I don't remember off the top of my head.
Okay, Adam W.
23.
Adam W, 23. Josh S.
28.
Okay, we got another Josh on the list. Okay, here it is. Rob Parks.
11.
Rob has entered at number 11. Give yourself a number, Rock.
29.
29 for Sir Rockin'. All right. Acer, who's in the chat room.
30.
Acer, you're the last entrant. All right. Kane Kittens.
2.
Kane Kittens is number 2. Yours truly, Tim Stein.
22.
Yeah, more favorable than the number I had last year. And, of course, the final name on the list is another Josh.
Starscream Josh.
Yeah, Starscream Josh, you're in the chat room. Remember your number.
Number 3.
Number 3. Good luck to you. You're going to need it. Wah-ha-ha. All right. And that is the Royal Rumble entry contest. Remember your numbers. What was my number? Number 22?
Maybe. I'm saving the thing, so. Yes, you have 22.
There you go. All right. And that's basically it. We're all the way down to the all-time greatest. Oh, wait. Before we do that, though, we giving anything away for the Royal Rumble winner?
Unless you have something to give away.
I don't know. We'll talk about it. We'll get back to them this week.
All right. So it's up in the air. So do we stall or is the Omega back?
I don't know. Let's ask him. Omega, are you back?
No, he's not. So, go to Man Kitchen TV and buy Tim's book.
Yes, I sold one this weekend and shipping it out to Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. And yeah, it's actually getting shipped because I got paid for it. That's how it works.
That's right? That's how it works.
Yeah, if you and pay for it. If the physical copy of the book, all you got to do is email me, shop@mankitchentv.com. We'll get it figured out. You've got 2 different versions of the book. You can get a physical one, that I hand make by myself, and they look good. People just are, really, speaking favorably about that. But the other way, you can get it emailed to you anywhere in the world in a PDF format. And the only thing I ask that you do not do is, share the PDF.
Correct.
The PDF is a couple of bucks cheaper than the actual physical book.
Yes. So, we'll get into the all-time greatest and hopefully he'll join us. So here we go.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop-de-freaking-doo!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in a real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
So this week on the all-time greatest... the conversation continues with Pete Rose taking on the Kane trilogy versus The Rock versus Hulk Hogan. So we'll go to Mace first, since I have to look up something for Omega.
This one's pretty easy for me. It's the one that's probably going to make people go, huh? But Rock versus Hulk Hogan, WrestleMania 19, the passing of the torch between the two. That match, the build, everything was so good, and to this day, it is still one of those matches that I can watch, and you can still get the same goosebumps via replay as you did watching it live. So yeah, sorry Pete Rose, you lose again.
Just no love from any sector of sports at all.
Yeah. Omega.
Yeah, funny as it is for Kane to be obsessed with the most infamous of, you know, most infamous of cheaters in baseball. Yeah, it's really no contest whatsoever here. It's Rock and Hogan. It's two generations of top stars colliding. It was, you know, to borrow Rock's phrase, it was electrifying. You know, it was a, in an age where this is where we started to see it all and started getting kind of tired of it. Nope. This is absolutely awesome.
Tim.
The Rock versus Hulk Hogan was WrestleMania 17?
18
in Toronto, where the crowd turned Hulk Hogan.
It did.
Yeah, because he came in as a heel and left as a babyface, and they just went with it, and they changed the call up huge. And having a crowd turn a wrestler in mid-match, kind of unprecedented. Just an absolute huge thing with Hogan's return to WWE from WCW. That just outshines its competitor. Don't you think?
Well, it's your call.
That was a rhetorical question, meaning I didn't need your input. But that's my pick.
Okay, so The Rock versus Hulk Hogan moves on. Up next, Brock Lesnar conquers The Undertaker's streak at WrestleMania 30. And Edge and Christian, Honda Hardys and Dudleys go TLC at WrestleMania 17, Omega.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, there's no correct answer here. Okay, you know what? As spectacular of a train wreck as the tag match was. No, it was the streak, man. It was such a big deal for so long. You know, and I still defend the action to this, I still defend the choice to this day with the same response. It told the best story, you know, especially in the WWE, where some things like this are pretty much unquestioned, you know, like The Undertaker's dominance at WrestleMania. This was kind of earth shattering. Like, not only does this establish Brock for what he is now, which is an absolute juggernaut and one of the few really good things going in the WWE, it also did a lot for, I'd say, The Undertaker, just to give him a new jolt of life, as it were, because that was just such a given. It's like he'd show up, win at Mania, and then leave. This is the one thing where it kind of puts not only his invincibility in doubt, but also what he will be doing from here on. It told a story as well as just being an enormous moment for WrestleMania.
Right.
Yeah. So that's going to edge out the prototype TLC.
Mace.
Yeah. The, TLC at WrestleMania 17 was a car crash of epic proportions, showing three great tag teams just going crazy. Yeah, it can't compare to the shock and awe that was Brock Lesnar beating The Undertaker's undefeated streak at WrestleMania, becoming the one in 21-1. And it's one of those things that you can still watch to this day, like Rock versus Hogan, and you can still get the same emotion, the same sort of thoughts and feelings that you had when you saw it live through a replay. And let's face it, Paul Heyman's face is just fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it was. Alright, Tim?
Well, you know, the TLC at Mania 17, it says standards. It raised the bar. It set a new bar. It opened doors for so many different things and so many different matches. It raised so many expectations. It's a benchmark. At the end of the day, that's all there is to it. It is a benchmark for everything that has happened since in WWE that is even remotely close. And that being said, it would outshine pretty much almost everything else we have on the all-time greatest list. But it's the streak it's up against. 21-1?
Yeah.
21 years.
Well, now it's 22-1, yeah.
But, oh, it's 22.
21 matches, not 20, not years.
Well, 21 matches. It's.
Yeah, cause he did miss a few here and there.
Still, it's the longest, the biggest deal at WrestleMania for, you know, however long it has been since they started, deciding to make it a streak and running with it. Mm-hmm. And they didn't make a big deal out of it until just a few years ago. And then really played it up. And everybody got into it. It's a streak. It's Undertaker. He can't be beaten at WrestleMania. This is, we're going to get a great match and we're going to get an Undertaker victory. And that's all there is to it. Along right. comes Brock Lesnar. Suplex that, City, bitch.
That damn Brock Lesnar.
Suplex City, bitch. Just the look on everybody's face, that black guy in the audience who actually made a Las Vegas bet that Brock Lesnar would win. The stunned look of disbelief when Lesnar did win. And he cleaned up too. He made a lot of money on that bet.
His face, it will be well known for many years to come.
And you brought up the look of Paul Heyman, Mace. For all of his talk and bravado, the look on Heyman's face when Lesnar got the 1-2-3 and the victory was like, oh my God, he actually did it. I know I've been saying that he was going to, but shit, he actually did it. He sold that win more than Brock Lesnar sold it.
Well, they both sold that perfectly because Brock was acting like, yeah, of course that happened. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't it?
I'm Brock Lesnar, bitch. So, yeah, it's Lesnar conquers the streak.
So there you have it. That moves on in the all-time greatest conversation for this week. Next week on the show, as we go to WrestleTalkRadio.com, where you keep up to date on everything going on in the all-time greatest conversation. Next week on the show, it is the Austin era begins against Ultimate Warrior beating Hulk Hogan, or Steve Austin sells out to Vince McMahon, or the Ultimate Warrior returns and beats Triple H. It's fitting how those two sort of matched up. Again, that was randomly put together.
There you go.
With that being said, Tim.
It just happens to be that way, but never mind, it's time for quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them. Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
So every week, I go for Tweet of the Week on the Rack. I go, oh man, I should always ask this question on the show because I save something in my favorites on Twitter and it's like, oh, I should ask the question. So I finally remembered to ask the question for this show.
This week you remembered.
This week I finally remembered. I've had the favorite since mid-December. So I'll start with Tim, and this is how it will span. The question on Twitter was, who is your favorite Bill?
Who's my favorite Bill?
Who's your favorite Bill?
Bill Wrights? I said.
You can say the Bill of Rights if you want, but I'm looking for a person, really.
Yeah, I'd almost have to say Bill Shatton.
Okay. Maze, who is your favorite Bob?
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be Bob from the 1989 Batman film, because he is the number one guy.
Gonna need your gun, Bob.
I have that action figure still mint on card.
You've got Bob?
I have Bob, the action figure.
Yeah, he graduated to become Angel on Nash Bridges from there.
There we go. This would then bring us to Omega, as I'm multitasking here. Who is your favorite Sam?
God, I'm trying to think if I even know a Sam.
Sam, I am. I am Sam. I do not like
names. I'm just like throwing the name back and forth in my head. Like, what Sams do I know?
A Samuel?
Sam Jackson?
He actually visited my local comic book shop today. It's a fucking random Samuel L. Jackson rocks up at All Star Comics in Melbourne. It's like, the fuck?
Actually, yeah, that's not... It probably is going to be
my answer. Supposedly they have good motherfucking comic books.
So that's not who you're going to use?
Yeah, because, like, God, like, I was trying to think, Sam... Like, I even started thinking Samantha... I know nobody famous by those names. I don't even know people by those names.
Not even Sam the Bald Eagle from The Muppets?
I always forget his name.
Sam!
Anyway, moving on to the down the list. Tim, who is your favorite Pete?
Obviously not Pete Rose.
I still say they should let the Lifetime Dan from him, but yeah, no, he's not my favorite Pete. Yeah, Pete Best. Pete Townsend. Pete Peter from Peter, Paul, and Mary. Back. Peter Weller. Peter Weller.
RoboCop.
Yeah. Buckaroo Banzai. I was actually thinking Buckaroo Banzai when I said Peter Weller.
Okay.
But yeah, RoboCop.
Mace, who's your favorite John?
Dun, 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 dun.
He gets all the double entendre names.
Just like that.
It would be Prince John, that phony King of England, from the Disney animated version, because never has there been a more sniveling, cowardly king that has made me laugh so much.
Like Prince John in...
You could also follow that up with Prince John in Robin Hood Men in Tights, because... You know, Patrick Stewart, who was... I shall name... All the toilets will now be named John's.
And Omega, finally to you. Who is your favorite Stan?
Stan Lee. That's... Thank you for an easy one after that.
That's like a no-brainer.
Oh, yeah.
No, see? I thought you were going to go somewhere different.
Really?
Yeah. I figured you'd go with the one that Sean kicked.
I just kicked Stan!
You know. Anyway, that's quick hits. That's quick hits.
I'm still so... One thing I take away from WTR, I got to ask Shawn Michaels about Stan.
Exactly.
Yes, there you go. That's the big thing. Another edition to WTR Sunday Night in the Books. Thanks for tuning in and joining us, everybody. Really appreciate your continued patronage. Don't forget, 1 hour later, next week at 11 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Mountain, because of the Royal Rumble. You definitely will want to tune in and get everybody's reactions, because you never know. We might do something a little different. Instead of running it down match by match, we might just open up the phone lines and let you guys call in and give us really quickly, in a very short amount of time, your thoughts and opinions on what winds up going down next Sunday night. You never know. We'll let you know throughout the week. Don't worry about that. But before that, we've got a whole bunch of shit happening this week, starting with tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, the post show, at about 11:15 p.m.
But once Monday Night Raw goes off the air, it's the Raw post at 11:10 p.m. Eastern, recapping everything that goes down on the go-home edition to the Royal Rumble of Monday Night Raw. Tune in!
And, of course, Thursday night, another edition of the multi-time, multi-award winning Up For More Awards, the Rack Radio Show with your host, as Lindsay Ward. And don't forget, you can vote for the Rack Radio Show at WrestlingRadioAwards.com. Do it every single day. Get him another award. Lindsay deserves it. Rock, he just rides the coattails.
Of course I do. Go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com, vote for Male Interview of the Year, Female Interview of the Year, and Show of the Year. WrestlingRadioAwards.com. Thursday night, we'll talk the Royal Rumble, we'll talk NXT, maybe a guest, who knows. It's the Rack. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, follow the show on Twitter at Rack Radio Show, Facebook.com/Rack Radio Show, RackRadioshow.com, YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show. Follow Lindsay on Twitter at Linz Ward.
Yeah. Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as we get to another edition of the wild, the weird, the unusual, the wacky, the zany, the far out, the absolutely stoned CP Radio.
We're getting close to episode 420. Just pointing that out. 3 weeks.
Episode 420. It's going to be mayhem.
Yeah, it'll be our Super Bowl show. But go back and listen to last night's episode. I had no voice. We talked about Joey Ryan and his penis flip. And we went through David Bowie, named that tune, and you know, about the 14 Blame Rob moments. So tune in at CB Radio, at CB Radio Live on Facebook and Twitter, CBRadioLive.com. When a celebrity dies, hashtag Blame Rob.
Yeah, and let's hope that Rob takes a week off, because that's enough for the next 6 months.
We already have two, so...
After these two, so that's enough. It's over. Follow Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio. Also, don't forget the Facebook group and the Facebook page. Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Also, check out Facebook.com/Russell Talk Radio.
Facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night. Twitter.com/WTR Sunday Night as well.
Yeah, WTR Sunday Night. Follow me on the Twitter machines at Man Kitchen TV. Follow me also on the Twitter machine at Flames Forms. And while you're at it, see if you track down Mace, because he's on Twitter, aren't you, Mace?
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter at The Mace Thing. I am only 2 followers away from hitting 250 people who enjoy my nonsense on with 140 characters or less. So, 2 people follow me and then everybody else can piss off. I don't really care. I will say big rest in peace to Lemmy, Alan Rickman, David Bowie, and everybody else that has passed away in this already shitty opening of 2016. But I will say this, everybody should be celebrating life every day, for it is fleeting. We call this the present for a reason, because every day is a gift.
That's touching. That being said, Omega, you got stuff to plug.
I don't have a Hallmark card in front of me for this.
yeah.
Let's see, yeah, as usual, if you want to follow me over on Facebook, it is TJ Reviews. Over on Twitter, it is TJ Omega. TJ Omega is also the website at tjomega.org for a bunch of exclusive videos. And then over on my YouTube channel, the majority of my work is also at TJ Omega. I keep busy.
He does.
Yeah. Is that all the plugging we've got to do?
Get us on TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iTunes. Just search out Wild Talk Radio Network and make sure you listen to The Rack and all the fine programming, including Wrestle Talk Radio next Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on Wild Talk Radio Network.
That being said, have yourselves a great week, everybody. Take care, and we'll catch you next Sunday night.
Wildtalkradio.com.